Perhaps Trimley, a successor of the apostles, the courage we need, my dear friends in Christ, this will not be an ordinary retreat. The courage we need to profess the faith on this ground, lady, is the perfect pattern for us to imitate. She lived by faith. We ask ourselves, how did Our Lady practice her mission of being, as we call her, the Queen of the Apostles? The catechism on which we are concentrating during this retreat, remember, it is not just another book. It is meant to be read, to be mastered, to be lived, and above all, to be shared. Our Lady, as the present Holy Father calls her, was a living catechism. No human being ever in the history of the world knew Jesus Christ as well as she did. And that's what catechesis is all about. Proclaiming Jesus Christ. She did so mainly, listen, she did so mainly in the depths of her soul. In other words, she did not go around preaching. She gave no speeches. She wrote no books. But if there was one person who was constantly on Mary's mind and always in her heart, it was her divine Son. And this is where we, in following in the footsteps of Our Lady, are to do as she has done. What does that mean? It means that as far as we humanly speaking can, we are in conversation with Our Lady, speaking with her, thinking of her, and above all, striving in our lives to imitate especially those two virtues that she practiced. Because, let me tell you, we will be only as effective channels of grace to others as we in our lives, following the example of Mary, are living lives of deep faith and of complete and total trust in Mary's divine Son. Our Lady, as we know, knows Jesus as no one else but the Mother of God knew him. Mary, Mother of God, how we need to learn from you what it means to know and love Jesus. We beg you that you will obtain for us something of your constantly thinking of Jesus in our thoughts, so that thinking of him and loving him, we may follow your example of giving ourselves totally to him, so that believing in him here on earth, hoping in him here on earth, we may see him and possess him and your company through all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Omega, the end, the goal, the destiny of our existence. Jesus is our lawgiver. How we need this in our country. How we need it. When they have a professed murderer of unborn children as the chief executive of our nation. Oh, how brainwashed millions of Americans can be. Can they are. The laws that we are to obey are his laws. And when he tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Who is this talking? It's our God. But my friends, you better give more than lip service to that statement. He is our God. You don't have millions of once professed Catholics. Maybe the church giving up their faith. Are they changed? Well, their clothing, or the change in weather, without a reason. Only God judges. Those mainly responsible are the leaders in our society. Jesus Christ, when we speak of him as our Lord, is our rewarder. We believe, we better believe, and the longer you live, the more meaningless life becomes, unless there is a life after bodily death, and we are to be rewarded for our serving God faithfully in this valley of tears. But you must believe it and pay no attention, zero, to what other people say or do. Jesus Christ, we believe, that's what the Gospels tell us, is our Lord because He is our judge. The moment we close our eyes on time and open them to eternity, the first one whom we shall behold with the eyes of our soul is Jesus Christ. And finally, how we need this. Jesus Christ is our provider. He provides for our needs. Provides for those needs. No matter how deep they may be, our Lord will not be outdone in generosity. Number 7. The Catechism, in order to bring out and emphasize as strongly as possible the importance of faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and God, dwells at length on the behavior of the doubting Thomas, remember, a week after Easter. He was absent when the other disciples were there. They told him, "Thomas, we have seen the Master." And I had to call him the first theologian. That's Thomas. Prove it. As I see the covering the hands and feet and the open side, I will not believe. Then our Lord, who didn't have to do this, our Lord then did appear and gave Thomas a chance. As you know, there could have been 3 apostates among the apostles. Judas, the traitor. Thomas, the doubter. And Peter, the denier. Not coincidentally, only one of those 3 died estranged from God. The other 2 repented. Thomas should teach us, as I tell people, an awful lot. I cannot emphasize too strongly the importance of our simple, and I mean it, childlike faith, and the more educated or naturally intellectual we are, the more we need, how we need the simple faith of a child. Over the years I've taught too many Jesuits, not to know that we've got to practice basic fundamental humility if we're going to even save our souls. Thomas, as we know, didn't have the humility, and his profession of faith, "My Lord and my God," saved him. Number 8. Somewhat surprisingly, the Catechism of the Catholic Church asks, why in the last analysis did God become man? And I think it is worth going over the reasons, drawing on centuries of the Church's tradition. We need these reasons, we today. Why did the Son of God become man? First, he became man to reconcile us sinners with God. We were sick and had to be healed, fallen and had to be raised up, dead and had to be brought back to life again. And that expression, dead and brought back to life again, is not a figure of speech. St. Augustine says, it was a greater miracle for Christ to restore grace to those who had lost God's friendship, then to raise Lazarus from the dead. That Christ raised people from the dead physically in order to bring out his divine power in restoring spiritual, supernatural life to those who had died in soul and were living. No figure of speech this. We are living in a world of cadavers, spiritual corpses. And somebody had better plead with God to work the miracle of restoring these dead spiritually people to life again in the grace of God. Why did God become man? He became man to teach us the meaning of true love. Quotes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting. And that's it. Forty-six years in the priesthood. Mine only God knows the thousands of souls that God has allowed to cross this sinner's path. But how many times in dealing with people I've asked myself and asked our Lord, Lord, what does this person really, really believe? And the purpose of the retreat, many other purposes besides, but one purpose of a retreat is to strengthen our faith, so we don't go on living in a kind of a dream world, memorizing certain pious formulas, but are in contact with reality. Finally, God became man to be our pattern of holiness. By imitating his virtues as man, we become more and more like him, the all-holy God. And do we ever need a model to imitate? Tell me, whom can we follow in this world? Who is a sure, adequate model for us to imitate? And that is one. And we're starting the retreat, and I'll keep at this until we close the retreat. I beg you, for the rest of your lives, after this retreat is over, to make a meditation every day, reflecting on the gospel, especially the gospel for the day, looking at Christ, comparing him with yourself, and asking him, Lord, make me more and more like you. Finally, the Catechism brings out, stresses, where it began with his second article of the Creed, that Christ had and has two natures, but he's only one divine person. So that we can identify with Jesus as a man like us, and everything but sin, we need that. We are so accustomed. That's the history of human literature over the centuries. What is that history? It is a history of sin. That, to be truly human, does not mean to sin. Quite the contrary, Jesus Christ was truly man. He did not sin. And we, I beg you to ask our Lord, the longer you live, with every passing year, that you become less and less sinful, and more sinless, like Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, you are the one pattern that we are to follow in order not only to reach heaven and eternity, but to be happy, truly happy even in this valley of tears, because, dear Lord, there is no joy in doing our own will. All the joy, either on earth or in heaven, consists in doing your will out of love. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.